up some journey.
Hey everyone, welcome to another episode of Jabs and Journeys. I'm your host Jason, and I'm joined by my co-host Andy.
Hello.
And today we have two wonderful guests, Scott and Kristen. Can you just introduce yourself real quick?
Yeah, so my name is Scott Nishioka. I grew up in Manoa and went to Manoa School for most of middle school and high school. Graduated in 2015 and then went to Occidental College in Los Angeles. Took a few years off to do some research at Straub, and that's what led me to Jabsome.
Hi, I'm Kristen Wong. I grew up in Kaneohe, also went to Punahou with Scott, and then I went to Columbia in New York for college. Also worked with Scott for 2 years, and then now I'm here at Jabsome.
This is our first kind of co-episode. These are two of our best friends here at Jabsome, and so I guess our first question for you guys is, how do you guys know each other? I know you guys met at Punahou, but I guess, can you guys elaborate on it?
Yeah, so I started at Punahou in sixth grade, and Scotty was actually in my sixth grade class. We sat at the same table. And so we've always been in the same friend group throughout high school, separated for college, but would still hang out like when we were home for winter break and stuff like that. And then coincidentally, we both ended up working for Straub, their research orthopedics department, and we're on the same track for applying to med school, and then now we're here together again.
Nice. Oh, that's awesome. Yeah, so I guess to kind of take it all the way back to the beginning, I guess, Scott, I can start with you. So what was the moment where you first thought about medicine as like a possible career? Not to make it too like med school interviewee, but just kind of, you know, just kind of from the basics, like a quick explanation.
Yeah, I guess one of the first things that kind of made it a possibility to me was some experiences with my grandmother, who was diagnosed with Alzheimer's, you know, very early on in my life. And she struggled through Alzheimer's for maybe 10 years, and it was, you know, pretty tough to watch, you know, the woman who raised me kind of devolve as the disease kind of progressed along. And so that was probably my introduction to the idea of medicine in general. But yeah.
I guess similar to Scott, I mean, I think just in Hawaii in general, a lot of kids will grow up around their grandparents a lot of multi-generational homes. And so, yeah, same thing. I was exposed to my grandpa, who needed around-the-clock care after an esophagectomy. And so that was kind of my first experience watching just caretaking in general. And then in school, I definitely gravitated towards like the maths and sciences and just learning about the human body. And that was definitely my strength in school. And so because of that, I would try to volunteer at the hospital and just, I guess, choose my jobs at the time and hobbies based around medicine. And I just continue to love it. So, yeah.
Nice. It sounds like both of you guys kind of have personal you know, stories that have to do with the reason why you want to go into medicine. Like a lot of, I think, our friends, kind of like Kristen was saying, grew up that way, learning to take care of your family and people that you love. I guess, like, what about being, this is like already a deeper question, but like, what about being around care did you like? Like, what did you find compelling about it?
Yeah, so, you know, I think kind of the main thing that stuck out to me with that experience was just how devastating and long-lasting Alzheimer's can be as far as its effects. And I think what was compelling about that is just it kind of introduced me to the idea that, you know, medicine, as impressive as it is, definitely has its limitations as far as what we can do and what we can cure and what we can even alleviate for our patients. And so I think what compelled me about that and seeing the limitations of medicine was it kind of drove me to think about, you know, how could I, as a provider, potentially improve medicine, or how can I improve the experience within medicine, or just something like that. It just compelled me to want to improve medicine, I guess, is a long way to say that, yeah.
Well, thanks, man. That's a really compelling story. And it's clear that you put a lot of thought into kind of the process of medicine and kind of the career choice in that way. So, yeah, thanks a lot.
Our next question for you guys is that after graduating from Punahou, you guys kind of went your separate ways, one to the East Coast, one to the West Coast. After spending time in the mainland, sometimes I think people find it hard to come back right away just because there's opportunity or like you're kind of established out there at this point. What made you guys come back for the gap year?
So for me, because I played a sport for all 4 years in college, I wasn't able to do a lot in terms of building my med school application. So I knew that when I came home, that was going to be my main focus. And so luckily, I was able to do a lot of different things in Hawaii, specifically within the comforts of, my family and just being at home with friends. So that was my main driver for coming back home.
Oh, and also when Kristen says she's played a sport in college, she didn't just play a sport. She was a Division I softball player.
Wow.
She was a dog.
She's
So.
a dog.
I think
How
for
about
me
you?
personally, yeah. I think for me personally, one of the main things, honestly, was just that like I had a hard time finding a job out on the mainland. It's really competitive. Especially if you're trying to do something that's related to healthcare in some way, it can get really competitive. And so I think coming home was probably the most ideal thing for me while I tried to figure out what I was doing. And then I found the job at Straub, and so it kind of all worked its way out like that.
I think that just knowing that I wanted to end up working here as a physician, I mean, I thought it would be best to just start building connections with physicians here. And they're always open to students and people interested in shadowing them, so that was a lot easier than making cold connections in the mainland for me.
Yeah, I think I can relate to that a lot myself too, because I also went to college in the mainland and I came home for my gap years, and it was a combination of a lot of things, seeing family again. Also financial, like living at home was definitely kind of a relief. And then also I just kind of needed more time to be kind of in a familiar space while I prepared for like the whole application process. So I guess I was wondering if you guys could talk a little bit about kind of how that went for you, kind of what were some of the most difficult aspects of that from like the, MCAT to like interviewing and everything.
Yeah, I can take that. Yeah, so I think the most difficult part for me was I took the MCAT after I came home, so I was working full time, and same for Kristen while I was studying for the MCAT, and that was kind of a difficult thing for me because how my schedule would go every day is I would work from 8 to 4:30, I'd come home, study for a few hours, eat dinner, and then study the rest of the night, and then just go to sleep, wake up and do the same thing kind of 5 days a week. And then on weekends, I would basically do a practice test. And so my weekends were gone as well. And so that was just kind of the grind of the application process. For me, that was kind of probably the hardest part of it. I don't know about you.
Yeah, I agree. I think just finding time to study on top of, a lot of us were working full time at the time. But yeah, Scott is definitely downplaying his study strategies. He was very dedicated, but obviously it worked out well for him. As for the rest of the application, I personally don't enjoy writing, and I was never really good at it. So I think the essays were actually the hardest part for me. But by the time it gets to the interviews, especially with JABSM specific interviews, I think you're always, or luckily, as a resident or growing up in Hawaii, I was able to talk about things or find things to talk about with my interviewers. So I thought the interviews were actually more on the fun side than the rest of the
Yeah.
application process.
Yeah, definitely. I think some advice I got when interviews were coming around was just that, interviews are just mainly a chance for you to show kind of who you are as a person beyond what's on paper. And that's kind of a nice break from the rest of the application process is just to be yourself and to kind of show why you're excited about medicine. And so it's really an opportunity rather than something to be nervous about, in my opinion. It's obviously it's very nerve-wracking, but it's a really important and great opportunity, in my opinion. And so that was a good answer, yeah.
Yeah, so this might be a difficult question, especially for people as humble as yourselves, but you might have to hype each other up a little bit. But what's something that you think helped you to stand out in the application process?
I can go first for that one. I think, you know, playing a sport definitely helped. I don't think it's, I think a lot of my teammates in sports either weren't pursuing medicine, or, you know, my fellow friends that were pursuing medicine weren't playing a sport. It was kind of rare to find people that were doing both. So that allowed me to talk a lot on teamwork, commitment, you know, all of those adjectives that they emphasize. But yeah, I think that was kind of what I tried to let shine in my application. Because playing softball, I played softball, sorry. Playing sports in college was definitely very, very challenging, and I think that I really wanted to show that I was able to push through that and still pursue medicine. So I was really, yeah, I depended on that a lot.
Yeah, I'm definitely grateful that I wasn't athletic enough to do a sport in college, but I can see how it can also be an advantage in some ways. What about you, Scott?
Sorry, the question was what?
It's kind of what helped you to stand out in the application process.
Yeah. You know, I think kind of the thing for me was that I did, like, a lot of research in college. During one of the summers, in between my sophomore and junior year, I had the opportunity to do some research on liver cancer, and I actually got published off of that. And so...
Congrats.
Oh, thank you. I think that was kind of a big thing. But also, like, throughout college, I was doing some wet lab research on group A streptococcus, and I think that was a good opportunity just to, like, you know, do research, but also to practice kind of the critical thinking skills that we all talk about, but you may or may not get in college, just to actually, like, apply your knowledge, something like that. But yeah,
I think something that's, like, totally stressed when you're kind of, like, a pre-med and, like, in college and, like, trying to figure out, like, okay, what am I going to do to be different is the idea of research, and especially in the transition between, like, undergrad to, like, medicine, a lot of it is, like, in college, at the college level, gonna be, like what you're saying, like, bio, like, very wet lab research. What do you think you, like, learned from wet lab research that, like, you know, made you a stronger candidate or, like, pushed you toward medicine or, like, because I feel like there's correlation there, but people don't always see it. So, like, I just want to, like, hear what you found valuable about that experience.
Yeah, that's a really good question. I wouldn't say it was, like, the hard skills, like doing a Western blot or things like that. Like, I don't really care about that stuff. But I would say it was a lot of the soft skills. So, I mean, mainly the critical thinking, like coming up with the research question and then doing an experiment on that, and then interpreting the results of that experiment and turning that into another research question, if that makes sense. So kind of the critical thinking skills. Also, I want to say I feel like the writing skills you get from writing up reports or writing articles is really helpful. And then probably the last thing I'll say about that is just, you know, an integral part of the research process is doing kind of a literature review and taking synthesizing all that, and I think that's really helpful, especially for med school, because we're presented with all this information in different locations, different places, on different topics, and kind of what you have to do is just synthesize that and make it make sense in one kind of cohesive thing or cohesive story, and to be able to tell that story in a logical manner, I think, is an important part of research, but also a really important part of medicine, a really important part of med school, and everything. Does that make sense?
Yeah, totally. Okay. Totally. How about you, Kristen? In another way, right, like sports, like you said, the buzzwords, teamwork, stuff like that. I can't imagine, like, having to go through college and then also pre-med and also sports. Like, I could barely wake up for class. But, like, what kind of things did you learn as a D1 athlete? That just seems super elite and, you know, really impressive. And, like, what kind of things did you learn from that?
I think if I were to say one thing that I took away from softball was patience. I think just learning to work with different people, people with different personalities. You know, I was definitely on the quieter side, and being able to stand up for yourself. But also, you know, being okay with working just as hard as your teammates, putting in the same amount of hours, and then ending up sitting the bench, you know, and being able to take that frustration and then not quit because of it, or not, you know, give up. And so I think, yeah, patience, but also commitment and just, yeah.
Yeah, no, definitely a great answer. So we've kind of been through like the whole like high school, growing up in Hawaii, undergrad, coming back, gap year, application process. So next, I just kind of wondering, what made you choose JAPSM? Like, was it just being in Hawaii? Was it the school itself? Like, how did you end up here?
I think for me, it was a pretty easy decision to want to go to JAPSM. Yeah, my whole family is here. The mainland, being on the mainland for 4 years really showed me how much I preferred the lifestyle here and the people. And then also just knowing where I wanted to end up and what path or what connections would allow me to best do that later. And that was all through JAPSM, I think. And then even after starting school here and, you know, meeting the classmates that we have and the teachers and the doctors that we get to work with, I think that this was, you know, the best possible decision, and where I fit in the best.
Yeah, that makes sense. I was kind of thinking along the same lines, where I'm trying to think like really, really long term, if, you know, past residency and fellowship or anything beyond that, if Hawaii is the place you want to end up, it's probably a good to start at least making connections or with classmates or professors, et cetera. Right now, so that you can, you know, potentially look forward to that in the future. And then also, I think, just to be really frank, if you're kind of from Hawaii, financially, it really just makes the most sense, because of, you know, number one, in-state tuition, but there are also a number of different scholarships available. And I mean, just comparing the two to some of the schools on the mainland, a lot of the private schools, you know, average indebtedness is at graduation is something like 200,000. So just kind of keeping that in mind, I think is, you know, potentially not talked about enough because it's kind of taboo to talk about finances a little bit, but it's something that's really important and should probably go into consideration as much as possible.
Wow, it sounds like you did more preparation for this podcast than we did. That was pretty impressive. Yeah, so I guess kind of like now that you're here at JAPSM, kind of how does it compare to what you expected, like when you're, you know, going through the application process and everything?
Okay, and then just also to add on to that question, what is one of your favorite moments that you've had here so far?
I think JAPSM was not what I expected, but in a good way. I think that when you go to med school, you think that all your classmates are going to be, you know, type A, studying all the time, but I definitely don't get that competitive feel amongst my class. And, you know, we do study a lot, not to take away from that, but we also do a lot of fun things on the side. Still are able to do a lot of hobbies, which I really enjoy. And then as for my favorite memory at JAPSM so far, it would definitely be volunteering at the Ironman race in Kona. I mean, it's this world-renowned race that people are flying in all over the world, some of the top athletes. And to just be able to watch the race was, I mean, one thing, but then to be able to take care of the athletes. And, you know, in our first 2 years, we don't get a lot of clinical experience, so we're kind of just thrown into the fire at the medical tent, which was scary, but also just super eye-opening and, you know, an experience that I feel like you aren't able to get anywhere else. So I'm really, really happy I did that and recommend it for anybody else that has the opportunity.
Yeah, I guess for me, as far as expectations versus reality, I think what kind of hit me entering JAPSM was what the true meaning of like self-directed learning is, you know, they talk about that a lot as one of the key components of the JABSIMS curriculum. And, you know, in the application process, I think we all kind of say, you know, like we love self-directed learning, and we've had that experience in the past. But I think once you hit med school, it really kind of sinks in what that actually means. And I guess what I mean by that is just like how much studying you have to do kind of on the side, outside of things like a lecture or like an actual classroom. It can be kind of overwhelming, and that's kind of what a lot of people spend so much time doing, is the really self-directed learning stuff. So I guess that's kind of the expectations for me. And as far as favorite moment, I would say that, you know, I had the opportunity to go to Hilo for a few months as part of like a rural health tract. I really have never spent a whole lot of time in Hilo, so that was a really great opportunity for me, just to experience what medicine is like on a different island, but also just to experience a different island or a different culture all in itself. Hilo is like a really great place. It's super laid back, and I had a really great time. So that was a huge highlight for me, I would say.
Yeah, no, I definitely understand your point about the self-directed learning, where, you know, it sounds great going into it, just all of the freedom, and then you actually have to do it. And then yeah, you kind of realize, well, I kind of wish sometimes people actually told me what I have to do. You know, either like I do too little or I do too much, you know? Mm-hmm. So kind of going off of that, I guess, what are some ways that you can like de-stress? Like, what are your hobbies? What are things that you do outside of school so that you're able to kind of, you know, handle everything at the same time?
Yeah, I think just, you know, remembering what your hobbies are. I think in med school it's possible to study all the time. There's always something to do. So you really have to set aside time to do things that you enjoy. For me, I enjoy going to the gym, or I enjoy trying new sports, hanging out with friends. I moved to town out of my parents' house when we started med school, so I definitely try to make time to go back and visit them. It kind of always just grounds me. Yeah.
You've been kickboxing too.
I've definitely picked up a lot of hobbies in med school. Maybe it's just me trying to avoid studying.
Yeah, as far as me de-stressing, I've tried to find time to run. For me, I guess long story short is I just have like really bad chronic dry eye, and you know that prevents me from wearing contacts, and I have to wear glasses all the time. And to be honest, that's been kind of hard just because like I can't do a lot of physical activities. Like a lot of people play basketball, or a lot of people would go surf. And I don't really have the opportunity to do that, or at least within like a feasible reach. So, you know, I just kind of do some running, I guess.
I'm also just gonna throw in that Scott's a photographer, pretty incredible photographer and award-winning film director. So
I do like doing that, but I unfortunately we don't have a ton of time to devote to that kind of stuff.
Yeah, Scott and I agreed to do a marathon by the end of
you got about a week.
Yeah, how's that
we've
going?
We've got like 2 whole years. We've really went downhill from the start.
Yeah.
I guess on the topic of stress, how to unstress and how to manage like your time, what is your like typical, I guess, like week like as someone in medical school now? Maybe not the whole week, but you know, like maybe one of you can talk about like what kind of time commitments we have here and what kinds of like things you do outside in preparation for whatever we have to do here.
Okay, yeah, so I think typical day would just be, you know, I try to stay at school for as, you know, as much of the sunlight day as I can, just because, like, I don't really get a ton done at home, so I try to maximize what I can do at school, and then, you know, I go home around dinner time. I try to make sure I eat dinner with my family every night. I'm also just lucky that, you know, they cook for me and stuff. So, you know, I try to be appreciative of that as much as possible and try to eat dinner with them. And then after that, you know, kind of just kind of unwind and relax for a little bit, and then maybe study a little bit, maybe like an hour or two or more. Maybe finish up LIs or something like that.
Yeah, I think, you know, everybody kind of finds out where they study best or where they, you know, where they like to spend most of their time. Scott likes to be here at school. I personally don't. I do like going to coffee shops and, you know, doing a lot of work there. So I'll be at school for maybe 3 to 4 hours for what we have to be here for. And then, you know, I'll do a lot of my side studying at a coffee shop in Kakaako. I'm also lucky that I live within walking distance from school, so that really helps. And then throughout the week, yeah, making time, like I said, maybe an hour or two a day to do something for you outside of studying. And then, unfortunately, I don't have the luxury of my mom or dad cooking for me. So I'll, you know, set aside maybe 1 or 2 days a week to meal prep. Mm-hmm. And so that's usually a typical week for me.
Another question that we have for you guys is for people who are kind of deciding between, like, do I want to go to JobSome or do I want to go elsewhere? Just what is something that you really love about JobSome?
Yeah, I think, so JobSome's class size is definitely on the smaller side compared to other med schools, but I think it's, you know, it's really a good thing for us because a lot of our work is done in even smaller groups of maybe 5 to 6 students. And I think that allows us to talk pretty intimately with almost everybody in our class at some point because the groups are constantly changing and there's different groups for everything. And this is in comparison to, say, you know, I went to a bigger college for undergrad and there's probably maybe 10 people I know and everybody else is people I've never really talked to. So getting to know our classmates on that level, especially if they're going to be, you know, the physicians that we're working with one day, is something pretty unique to JobSome.
Yeah, I think I would second that, you know, mainly the people, it's, especially if you're from Hawaii, it's really nice to be surrounded by people who kind of have like a pretty similar life experience or come from relatively similar background. And to have people understand you on that level, I think is you know, really important, just for having like a support system like that going through med school. I think that's super big strength of JobSome's. And I guess just a second thing I think that's really great about JobSome is just in general its position in Hawaii as opposed to you know, med schools on the mainland. Its position geographically and in relation to other countries in the Pacific. I guess over the summer I had the opportunity to do some research about cervical cancer rates in places like Palau or the Marshall Islands, places like that. And so I think just its unique position geographically provides you with a number of opportunities internationally in places across the Pacific. You know, I was thinking about Mark too over the summer. I got to go to Papua New Guinea. Which I think is a super unique thing that JobSome is able to put on, that really, I'm not sure how much opportunities like that is available on med schools in the mainland, if that makes sense, you know.
Yeah, no, I definitely agree with both of you. That really is what helps make JobSome unique. And I apologize in advance for this next question. I know we're all sick of it by now, but it's a medical school version of what do you want to be when you grow up? Have you thought about what you want to practice? Just kind of in like general terms, necessary, but like, you know, inpatient, outpatient, specialties, any of that kind of stuff. It's, if you just say no, that's also fine, but just throwing it out there.
I've been doing a lot of thinking about it, and I'm not really that sure. I've thought about surgery, I've thought about internal medicine, and a number of other things, but I think kind of where that comes in hopefully is when you start rotating through the departments or through the different specialties. Hopefully that gives you a much better idea. I don't know about you.
Yeah, I'm definitely leaning towards pediatrics, specifically possibly neonatology. I did an elective where I was able to shadow in the newborn nursery, which I know is a little different than the NICU, but I think I just love the environment of being around kids, specifically babies. And just knowing that, you know, they're brought into this world with whatever cards they're dealt and they just need the best care possible. So, yeah. But who knows? Maybe that'll change. We'll see.
Yeah, that's. I can see you guys both doing, you know, great things, whatever you guys decide. And I think, like, that's true. A lot of times people change, make different decisions in the third year. So, you know, we never know what we're going to do. Our last question for you guys is, because you guys have known each other for so long, from, I don't know, what is this, like, 19 years at this point? 15 years?
Isn't that long? No. Don't say it like that.
A long time. What is something that, you know, people don't know? Like, for Scott, what is something that most people don't know about Kristen? And then vice versa, Kristen, what is something that a lot of people don't know lots about?
I would say Kristen's a really humble person, but I think the first thing you'll notice about Kristen is just that she's good at literally everything. Like, she just picked up golf recently and just balls at golf.
She is. Yeah.
Just a dog at darts and also just like literally anything. Yeah. Kickboxing, yeah, yeah, yeah.
That's very true.
She says she picks up a lot of hobbies and she's good at every single one of them. So that's like probably the one thing that I would say about Kristen for sure. Yeah.
Well, I was kind of going along the same lines, but because I've known Scott for so long, and this is not even something that people don't know, but because I've known him for so long, he is probably one of the most likable people that I've ever met. I don't think there's any population of people that we've been in that doesn't enjoy his company, so I'm very lucky to know him.
Wow, thank you. That was a really nice answer.
That was way nicer than
we were trying to get some dirt. Going for embarrassing. Wow, you guys are too nice. All right, that's all the time we have today. Thank you so much to Kristen and Scott, the two nicest and most humble people in our class. It's no coincidence you guys are friends. And thanks for tuning in. And join us next time on Jabsome Journeys.